Welcome to The Blessed Business, where we discuss money and mission, helping you connect wealth to purpose. Today we have again with us Pastor Caleb Adams. He joined us recently to talk about living in the flow of God's blessing and bringing ourselves into alignment with that. But today we wanted to talk about kind of the next phase of that. So one of the things that we were talking about is if you have all the character qualities in place and you are connected to the mission and purpose of God and you live with revelation of God and all the different aspects that are required to truly walk in exponential blessing, then the question becomes, how do you expand your capacity for blessing? How do you expand that? And I believe one thing that you talked about in the previous episode where we talked about is if you have a closed fist that God can't, you know, God can't put more in and you're not giving a whole lot. So we know that generosity plays into that. And we talked about those character qualities. So those open you up a little bit to increase blessing, but there's a way to expand that from a vision standpoint of how you can absolutely create a void for God to fill. So tell us a little bit about Pastor Caleb Adams, a little bit about that, and thank you for joining us to have this conversation again today.
Well, Hunter, it's good to be back on the podcast today, and I've so much enjoyed tackling the subject of being blessed. And the idea of expanding the capacity for blessing is one that is definitely taught in the scripture, in that not everybody is blessed with the same degree of fruitfulness. There's one reference in the New Testament that talks about some people bring forth 30-fold fruitfulness, other people 60-fold, mm-hmm. and some 100-fold. And for whatever all that means, one takeaway that I take is not everybody is blessed to the same degree.
Right.
So when I think about the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100, I think, which category do I want to be a part of?
Yes.
Well, obviously, I'd like to be one of those 100-fold people.
Right.
I don't think I've gotten there yet. I don't want to be a 30-fold guy for sure. So somewhere in the spectrum, I'm there. So I wonder if I start out as a person that's living for God and got a heart to live for the Lord and definitely got some blessings coming in. If I'm in the 30-fold camp, is there anything that I can do? Are there any principles that I can latch on to from the scripture that will expand my capacity for the blessings of God?
Hmm.
And I don't have a full understanding of that. If I did, I'd probably be a lot further down the road, but there are some principles that I've noticed in the scripture. One of them is that God is going to bless us according to what our need is.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, he taught us, give us day by day our daily bread. So whatever it takes for us to meet the needs of the hour, that's what God is going to provide for us. So it stands to reason, if God is going to bless to meet the need, one way that we enlarge the blessing is we got to enlarge the need. This was something we see in the Old Testament too, when God gave manna every day to the children of Israel while they were journeying through the wilderness. The scripture said that God gave manna, and the people go out every morning and they would gather every man according to his eating. So if you had a big appetite, you could get a whole bunch of manna. If your appetite was small, God was going to feed you in proportion to your appetite. And so this lets me know that part of expanding the blessings of God in my life is I need to be so busy doing things for God, I need to find legitimate ways where I can make my need bigger. In the ministry, and from a standpoint as a pastor and managing the operations of a church, if we do just a little bit for outreach, God will bless us with the resources to take care of that. But if I want to get more blessings flowing, we got to step out there and make bigger commitments to get the gospel out and do more outreach and run more programs. And when we do that, we enlarge our need, and God lets the blessings flow in proportion to that. And then beyond need, there's another concept in the scripture that is where God gives us blessings that's connected to our thinking and our asking. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that God will bless us, and that we need to pray that God would bless us, because he's got power to do exceeding abundantly all above all that we are able to ask or think. Now, the scripture said we have not because we ask not.
Right.
So here is a principle here. We want to be blessed big. We're going to get blessed in proportion to our asking.
That's good.
So if I'm asking God to bless me to just be able to meet my obligations this week, if I'm asking God to bless me to just get by, chances are he will bless me to just get by. And then if I'm going to expand my asking, I think we need to pray bigger prayers.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
I think I taught a series at the church here a few months ago. The title of the series was Praying Big. Because if God can bless us above what we ask or think, we got to ask bigger.
Right.
But if we're going to ask bigger, we can only ask bigger if we are willing to think bigger. And my opinion, one of the things that have restricted the flow of God's blessing on so many Christians is that we pray small prayers, and our vision is very small. Most of the time we let our vision get sucked up into the minutiae and the smallness of our problems, and we have faith to believe that God's going to help us to get by and that the challenge of the week will be resolved. But I wonder what would happen if we allowed the Spirit of God to touch our vision and give us an increased vision for doing his work, reaching, stepping out, doing big things and great things. We'd start praying bigger.
Yes.
We had a bigger vision, we'd pray bigger prayers, and we would absolutely see more of the blessings of God flow both spiritually and naturally. So if we want a larger capacity to be blessed, pray big and dream big.
Well, that's good. So many times I myself have gotten sucked into, like you said, just the minutia of daily details of this is, you know, something that, you know, I'm trying to make through this week. You know, I'm trying to make the bills for next month. I'm trying to make sure I get my mortgage paid. You know, all these different things, we get hung up in the small details, or, you know, we want to have a revival. We want to see one person, you know, get baptized in Jesus' name. We want to see someone get saved. Well, instead of, you know, just someone, we want a lot of someones. You know, we want, instead of just paying our bills, we want to be able to give above and beyond that. And I think one of the aspects of that is, like you're saying, is just launching out there in faith is important, and seeing beyond what we have. And I think part of that is studying to show ourselves approved, looking into God's word, and seeing how much of the promises are there. I think that expands our thinking some to see, go back and reflect on, you know, what happened to the children of Israel and look at all the blessings that came to them. But then also to go beyond that and say, well, what can God do in my life, and how can I be a blessing to the kingdom of God? And expand our thinking. And one thing you've mentioned in some of your sermons and different things to the church, it may even been part of that series, is praying that God would give us big ideas for business. And before you had mentioned that, I never thought of that before, of praying for a big idea. You know, and just, I was just kind of going through and letting life happen to me, you know, and just being diligent, but just not looking for that exponential idea. But I believe that there's absolutely a place where God can give those exponential ideas and that we can walk in that. And kind of going back to one of our previous episode about when we view things from the perspective and the revelation of stewardship, that God is the creator of opportunity and we're managing this for Him and we're connected to purpose, then we don't have to feel guilty about that. And we know that God is the creator of these opportunities. And so when we see that, we're like, okay, God, I'm going to step out in faith and create a faith void, if that it makes sense. And I believe you mentioned about God gives in proportion to our need.
Yes.
And so creating a void there for God to fill is important. I know one time, I don't remember who I had heard that did this, but me and my wife, we try it in our life, and I know others have as well, but we had caught the vision, you know, the big idea of giving to the kingdom of God and giving specifically to our church. We've been going through a building program and different things, and we had a goal we wanted to give a certain amount. And I've wanted that in the past. God, I've prayed the prayers of, God, I want to give more to the kingdom. I want to give more to you. I want to give. Well, that's great, but I didn't put kind of a figure on it. But I was challenged one time to go home and actually write a check to give that I couldn't cash at the moment, that it was way bigger than what I had. And I'll tell you what, without any credit to me or business ideas or anything, but God just put it in our hand. And shortly thereafter, we were able to do it totally unexpectedly. And it was far, you know, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, millions of dollars. I wish it was, but it was a significant enough where it was like, I knew God had filled that void. And so we went and we've done it again multiple times where we'll go back and do that. And that's an exercise of creating. It's a way that I like to create a void in my life that, God, I'm willing to step through this door if you'll open it. I've already wrote the check. I'm just waiting for you to put it in my hand and be looking for the opportunity. And when God provides it, to step through it.
That's a beautiful testimony.
So, and there's been so many people in our church that have experienced things like that recently. I know it's a principle. It's not just a one-off, you know, scenario. But speaking of kind of our building and the whole process of that, I know we've recently moved into a new facility, and there's a whole lot that goes along with it. I know you've had a lot of faith to step out there and cast the vision of it. And you talked about earlier having small vision, you get small provision. But if you have great vision, you have great provision. Would you mind sharing a little bit about kind of that journey and how some of the steps in faith that you had to take?
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. You know, the whole journey of us building and getting to where we presently are, it's been a long one, and we'd have to do about 10 podcasts to cover all the steps. But when we began this process a number of years ago, our church was in a very, very poor part of town, and the facilities were in poor condition. The church barely had enough income to meet its obligation. But as God started blessing our congregation to grow and have revival, we came to the conclusion that if we were going to continue to grow the ministry here in the Memphis area, we would have to buy a property and build a new facility. It wasn't just something that was on a wish list, but it was a need. Mm-hmm. It was something that was core to us furthering God's mission and expanding the gospel footprint in our community. And I think that's an important thing. It's got to be a need that's according to God's mission, not just an ego trip. And so when we started looking for property, we looked at several different pieces, and I just had the vision that it would be good to have a piece of property sitting along Interstate 40 over in a good part of town. Mm-hmm. And we looked at a number of pieces of property that were more affordable, or so we thought at the time. But I can remember crossing a point in my own heart and spirit that I just determined, you know, we need to have a church facility where every person in the metro area will lay eyes on our building and see where we're at.
Right.
And God put that vision in my heart. It wasn't long before we were able to I said we were located. We didn't locate it. It came to us, 21 acres in a premium part of town, huge amount of freeway frontage on Interstate 40. We were able to buy it on a fire sale for just a fraction of its value. And when we went to buy it, God blessed us to be able to write a check.
Wow.
And pay for that property. Looking back, if we'd have been looking for a couple of acres cheap somewhere else, that we would have seen God bless us to have that.
Right.
But getting that vision and saying, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we need to do, we saw God bless in proportion to that. And when it was time for us to start the building program for the physical structure of the building, we went through different plans, and I can remember the first plans that I looked at. The auditorium had a seating capacity of 110 people. Well, back then we were running in the mid-30s on Sunday morning, and so to have an auditorium that would seat 110 people with a couple of classrooms and an office, that would have been a big step up at the time. And that's the first set of plans that I started praying over and ask God to give us the wherewithal to happen. But it never happened at the time. But I'm glad over time God started touching my heart to where I started thinking bigger.
Right.
And understand if we're really going to do what God has called us to do here, we got to think bigger than that. And so when we launched out to do our current project that was several million dollars, it was a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more expensive than what we had initially anticipated. But when we broke ground to start building the building, we had some financing in place and we had a little bit of cash in hand, but we still didn't have enough to fully furnish and complete everything that we needed to do. But after breaking ground on this building, we started seeing God absolutely unleash the miraculous. And one particular miracle, we call it the $1 million miracle, a person came and brought a $1 million contribution to the church. Something like that's never happened in the history of our congregation. Another contributor wrote a check for $100,000, and then many people opened their hearts and wallets, and they gave abundantly, and as a result, we were able to move in at the beginning of the year into a new facility. Debt's only a fraction of what we had thought that it would be initially, and already since we've moved in, it's just mind-boggling how many new people God's been bringing in, people getting saved, and conversions happening literally every week since we've been in this new building. And many times over the last few weeks, I have reflected back on that initial goal and vision of building that small church on an out-of-the-way piece of property, something we could afford. And I'm glad I didn't keep that vision, because that's where we'd be today.
Absolutely.
God would have blessed us to do that, but God was able somewhere in the process to stretch my thinking and my asking, and of course our congregation was along with that, and God is blessing us in proportion to our vision and dream. I just wonder what we would have today if I'd even thought bigger and dreamed bigger than what I did.
Well, and I now remember as part of that process, you mentioned about, you said before the person wrote the $1 million, before that came in, you had said, we need a $1 million miracle. And because that was kind of the gap, that was the void that God had to fill. And what was ironic to me is not only did he fill that gap, but he far exceeded that between other contributions and other things and discounts, different things that came in. And so that it exceeded abundantly above what we could ask or even think. And I think that's beautiful. I know in my own life, I've experienced, I've been embracing the principles that you've been teaching and different things where me and my wife in the past year, we've walked into a season of blessing in our life. And we've been trying to connect that to mission and purpose. But we had one particular deal that happened a while back that it was like every stage that we would get a little bit more blessed, I was just completely stressed out about it. You know, it was like this new opportunity, and it's great, and it's awesome, and it's amazing, and God brought it to us. But it was like I was struggling to handle the blessing. I was walking in the miraculous. I knew that I was. It was only, I had to point to use your quote. You know, I was blessed to the point that I had to point to God and divine help to explain my place in life. But at the same time, I was struggling with handling it. And I just felt impressed, that God, you know, spoke to me, you know, just impressed upon me that I could only handle so much blessing because I was letting it control me. I was letting the focus of it and, you know, the business opportunity, the growth, the all of those things had gotten to a point where I was struggling to let it, you know, to progress anymore. And it was almost like if God blessed me with, you know, three times a project that size, I wouldn't be able to handle it because I didn't have the mental capacity, the faith capacity to be able to walk in that. But I really am just curious, maybe some of the takeaways from your experience, that, you know, growing, you know, the church and stepping out there in a huge step of faith, of things, some key things that have helped you and could help our listeners to be able to walk into the miraculous and to be able to handle it when God does expand the blessing, to expand our capacity for living and walking in it.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So what can I do practically this week to expand my capacity for blessing? Well, I think it first starts where we make a really heartfelt commitment before the Lord that no matter what He blesses us with, we're not going to let it create pride and ego. Mm-hmm. If God lets blessings come to us like He did to King Uzziah in the Old Testament, and the Bible said that when he became strong,
right,
his heart was lifted up. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that God lets me see some really great breakthroughs, become arrogant and untouchable. So that's the first thing. We got to make a commitment that we're going to stay humble. Whatever that means and however that's defined, that's got to be first. And then another thing that to do is how can we get our vision stretched?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, one thing that stretches my vision is when I pray and pray in the Spirit.
Right.
There's a place in prayer that I touch every now and then where God stretches it. But then the third thing, and this is a very important thing, is we have got to find visionary people, godly people with big thinking and big ideas, and we've got to make an effort to rub shoulders with those people. Hmm. Here's what most people do. We don't want to, as a whole, most people don't want to hobnob with people that think bigger than they do or have accomplished more. We like to socialize people who are basically in the same social class that we are, and then we make room for people that haven't done as much as we are, so we feel at least equal or superior to the people that we hang around with. But when we do that, we're not challenged.
Right.
But what we need to do is make an effort to seek out people who, through the virtue of their accomplishments and through their big thinking, when we get around them, we need to feel like a short man in a world filled with giants.
Right.
And I want people in my life that's done more than what I've done. I want people that can think circles around me, because when I get around those visionary people, inevitably some of that starts rubbing off on me. Instead of resenting their success, I think, you know, if God can do it for them, He's not a respecter of persons. He can do it for me as well. So if I'll commit to staying humble, if I'll pray in the Spirit and surround myself with some visionary people, I think all of those are critical principles to enlarging our capacity to be blessed by the Lord.
Wow, that's really good. And I know for me, I definitely want that in my life. So thank you so much for sharing kind of your story and these principles. And I think if we'll apply this, we'll see great and wonderful things. So thank you so much again for joining us.
Amen. It's an honor to be here.
Well, that's a wrap for today. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this podcast episode. Please subscribe if you haven't already, share it with a friend, and check us out on theblessedbusiness.com. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day, and tune in next time.